The next case we'll hear for argument this morning is Emazulo against the United States. Mr. Goodrich.
Good morning, Your Honors. This is the second time Mr. Emazulo has come before the Seventh Circuit Court of Appeals. The first time was in his direct appeal, United States versus Hamzat. Subsequent to that appeal, he timely filed, or that judgment becoming final, he timely filed before the district court a proceeding pursuant to 2255, which was rejected by the district court, filed a notice of appeal as well as a request for a certificate of appealability. District court denied the certificate. The Seventh Circuit interpreted the notice of appeal as a certificate of appealability and granted the certificate with regard to one issue. That one issue is what we're here before the court today on.
Both sides have briefed the issue identified in the certificate of appealability. My principal question for you is whether this case presents that issue. We often review the certificate of appealability papers in haste, and we're not perfect, alas. Perfection doesn't come with the territory. Now, I wonder whether this case presents that question. The idea of... Here's my problem. Neither side's brief discusses this, so let me tell you what I see as the problem. Maybe I'm all wet here. The safety valve permits a departure from the statutory minimum in order to impose a sentence within the guidelines. But so far as I can see, your client received a sentence within the guidelines. And in fact, the lower bound of the guideline range, 145 months, that's what your client got, is higher than the statutory minimum, which is 120 months. So the safety valve could not do anything for your client in this case, because under the safety valve statute, the sentence must be within the guideline range. So under the safety valve statute, your client could not have received a sentence lower than the one he actually received.
May I respond?
That's the point of asking the question.
Actually, with the safety valve, there's not only the advantage to being relieved of any minimum mandatory term of imprisonment. In this instance, it would be a minimum mandatory term of 10 years, but also there is the added bonus of a two-level reduction. If you apply the two-level reduction to Mr. Emazulo's sentence, he does go below the actual minimum mandatory.
How do you get the two-level reduction?
Pursuant to the safety valve statute, he gets two levels reduced. That's my reading of the 5C1.2.
The 5C1.2 is not the statute.
Section 3553, I believe, also.
Section 3553F, you say, has this in it?
I believe so.
Okay. Well, let me go check. Anyway, please.
With regard to Section 3553 or 5C1.2, this is a case that does involve that. There is one additional issue that needs to be taken into consideration, and that the district court did decide to depart downward 6 months due to my client's status as a deportable alien. That changes the applicable guideline range between the two variant levels of being either 115 months, if you follow the court's reasoning, or the 146 months.
I don't understand that. That's the source of my problem.
Yes.
Departures don't change the guideline range. They just refuse to follow the guidelines. They're departures from the range.
Correct.
And the reason why I asked this question initially is because it looked like the statute says the sentence must be within the range.
Correct. In this instance, my client would have fallen to a 115-month sentence because the district court made the specific factual finding that due to his status as a deportable alien, his incarceration for the final 6 months of his sentence
yes,
would be...
That is not a reduction in the range. That's a claim of departure from the range.
Correct. with the safety valve, his bottom end of his range without the additional departure would have been 121 months, whereas without the safety valve, it was 151 months.
Okay, I've just reread the statute. It makes no provision whatsoever for two-level reductions. It's just not there in the statute. Now, maybe there's something in the guidelines that says that when you get a safety valve reduction, you depart from the range.
I believe it's in 5C1.2 of the Federal Sentencing Guidelines. That's how I've always applied the safety valve, and it's been applied in cases in which I've done. In this instance, it would make this case applicable to that exact issue that the court initially brought up. This case is different than BRAC, the prior holding of the Seventh Circuit Court of Appeals, in one attributable aspect. The unilateral decision either to terminate or cease the proffer session was not made by the United States of America, but it was made by the defendant's attorney. Although the defendant, Mr. Amuzio, had filed a pro se petition for a safety valve, and then...
Okay, I've now just reread 5C1.2. There's no provision for reducing the range by two levels. Now, it may be someplace else in the guidelines. Normally, if you plead guilty, you can get a reduction for acceptance of responsibility, but there's no provision in 5C1.2 for reducing the range.
What I can do is, in a letter of authority to the court, I can pull the authority for that, and within 30 days of today's date, I will provide that
no.
to the court.
Both sides will have 7 days from today to file any authority they wish on the question how the safety valve could affect the guideline range.
And with if it does in fact affect the guideline range, then it does two things. Number one, the granted safety valve allows the court to depart downward, give my client less than the minimum mandatory, and it also if the district court's reasoning remains consistent, would lead to an imposition of a sentence of 121 months initially as compared to an initial assessment of a sentence of 151 months. That 30
well,
months.
You're assuming the district court would go to the minimum guideline.
Well, if you take the alternative argument as put forth by the United States of America in their brief, they're saying that the court would go to the maximum, which is 151 months.
Well, we don't know, do we?
But even if you go, only if the court chose to do the exact opposite would my client not be biased. The standard isn't one of guarantees. It's one of reasonableness and probabilities. Being the facts of the case have not changed, I don't think it's either unreasonable or improbable that the district court would adopt a similar line of reasoning as it did previously, especially since one of the co-conspirators, which was substantially more culpable than my client, received a 105-month sentence, and the next closest sentence was a 121-month sentence. My client, being admittedly one of the higher-level participants, with the safety valve, would have come in somewhere around, I believe his name was Adgifite or Adgifite. I'm not familiar with the pronunciation.
Well, doesn't the issue boil down to whether the contents of this letter of May 7th constituted a complete proffer?
Well, not only that, it demonstrates my client's willingness to proffer. Along with this pro se motion,
Well, I know, but if he didn't admit to a whole lot of things in that letter, the chances that he's going to make a good proffer are pretty slight, aren't they?
He admitted to enough. He admitted to enough to defeat him as either a minimal or minor role.
Is that a concession that he didn't admit to everything?
No, it's not a concession. What it is he admitted to handling drugs, packaging drugs, acting as an intermediate in the procurement of drugs, having the sophistication to use aliases and adopt alter egos, and also having the sophistication to protect Bola, which was his supervisor in the heroin conspiracy. That's what that letter does. That does enough to destroy any arguments which he would have effectively had at sentencing, and in fact did, because the district court, I believe correctly, found that he had neither a mitigating nor an aggravating role in the offense. So being that that statement was placed out there, and there was a certification at page 69 of the trial, or the change of plea transcript, or the sentencing change of plea, where Counselor Bailey said that he promised a full and complete version in writing to the court prior, leads me to the conclusion that Counselor Bailey was not aware that he could approach the government, be rebuffed, and still have his client qualify for safety valve. My client was biased.
Mm-hmm. Thank you, Counsel. Mr. Collins.
May it please the Court, Counsel. I'd like to start by answering just a couple of questions. First, Judge Easterbrook, the two-point reduction that the safety valve provides to the base offense level is found within the guidelines and not within the statutory provision. The guideline provision is Section 2D1.1. And what it would do, if the petitioner was found eligible for the safety valve, it would reduce his base offense level by 2 points. Therein lies the argument that he would have been in the lower range. It's not so much the minimum that issue, it's that 2-point reduction that the petitioner argues he should have received. Going, Judge, to your point.
2D1.1, which
I believe it's in
subsection,
I believe it's
that
subsection
monster.
Subsection B5.
B. Well, I don't want to consume any more of your time for arguments of the two of you. We'll have 7 days to file memos addressing this.
And I will do that, Judge. I think the crucial point here is the point that Your Honor mentioned, which is this petitioner has never shown that what he would have said in his safety valve proffer was a complete and truthful disclosure of all the information that he had regarding the conspiracy. It fell far short of being that. And I think
because all we have is your assertion that's the case. We don't. There wasn't any evidentiary hearing here to determine whether this letter was complete or wasn't complete.
I think there's.
Maybe should we have such a hearing? Is it?
No, Judge. I would submit to the district court. Did reject the factual claim of the petitioner in the 2255 based on something it had already found. At the time of sentencing, the petitioner argued that he was only responsible for 4.6 grams of heroin. The district court, on a factual basis, rejected that and found that the defendant directly participated in the distribution of 29.6 kilograms of heroin. That's a major difference, Your Honor, 25 kilograms of heroin. So I would submit that the district court already did make a finding at the sentencing phase that what petitioner was saying as far as what he now calls...
Well, what's the letter say about that, about the quantity? Anything?
The letter says that the petitioner should only be responsible and was only involved in 4.6 kilograms of heroin. He left out 25 kilograms that the district court found he directly participated in. Also, on the direct appeal, this court found that the district court's factual findings on all points, in the words of the court, easily withstood clear error review. So I would submit, Judge, that there was a factual finding by the district court rejecting what petitioner was saying to be his role in the offense. This court affirmed that on a clear error basis. So that when it came up again before the district court, this time in the context of a 2255 motion, the district court was on very good ground to deny that motion without an evidentiary hearing, not only for that basis, but also because the petitioner did not file any type of evidentiary support. There was no affidavit. There was nothing more than his unsupported assertions in his motion. And on that basis, and on the basis of the record, as it existed, the district court did not abuse its discretion in denying this motion without an evidentiary hearing. It wasn't necessary. Well, for that reason, and for those outlined in my brief, the government would ask that this court affirm the district court's denial of petitioner's 2255 motion.
Thank you, counsel.
Thank you.
I, by the way, have now found this thing. It's 2D1.1B6. Yes, these are very complex. But one thing I'd like the both of you to address in these memos is whether, if a reduction is possible under both the safety valve and 2D1.1B6, whether the safety valve itself does not disallow further reductions and departures. That is, whether the statute doesn't disallow departures like the two levels off for being an alien. Because the statute says the sentence must be within the range provided by the guidelines. It may be a condition of getting the safety valve that there be no other non-guideline departures. And if that turns out to be the case, then there'd be a complete offset. If the defendant got two levels under 2D1.1B6, he'd lose two levels for being an alien as a wash. So I hope the two of you will address that issue in your memos as well.
I certainly will, Judge. Thank you.
Thank you very much, and thanks to you, particularly Mr. Goodridge, for accepting the appointment in this case and the assistance you've been to your client and to us.
Mm-hmm.
All right, the case is taken under advisement.